And as you know, I've told you many times that the biggest struggle I ever had was knowing where and when God wanted me to preach the truth. Well, I have never preached a lie anywhere. But when I came up here, I ran into all kinds of difficulties, and I'm not going to go into them because the script has already been prepared by your assistant pastor down here. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'll tell you what I believe before I start, and then you can judge for yourself. When I came to this church, I had always preached in churches that believed what my grandfather, McElmurray, believed, because I'm from northern Arkansas. And he always told me he got it from his father, who was a deacon in a Missionary Baptist church that taught it. And then I discovered the McElmurrays had a historian. I mean a real, honest-to-goodness, living, live historian. I mean the guy was a professional historian. He was a Missionary Baptist. He was very objective. He wouldn't have lied to you for anything because he checked everything. Well, he traced us all the way back to what we call Northern Ireland. If you look at Northern Ireland, you'll discover it's got an orange in its flag. If you look at the flag for the rest of Ireland, it's got a green flag. William of Orange was the great conqueror who went across and conquered Northern Ireland. And so that's why the yellow, the orange is in there. And you won't find the word orange in the Bible. But you will find the word red. And so, although the man that was a registered historian was a Missionary Baptist, he believed what I believed. I knew him to be honest. I knew him that a lot. He didn't lie. He wouldn't lie. A true historian won't lie to you. If you ask him, is that written in the Bible that way? And he'll tell you, no, it's not. So I didn't do a lot of things. But I went ahead and I preached it at a couple of churches. And I really thought they were going to tar and feather me. I really did. And so finally I came back and then I went out to TBI. And at TBI, they finally preached something I believed. Or said something I believed. But I didn't like what they said about the man in the book we call The Trail of Blood. I didn't like what they said about him believing he was the Holy Spirit. I didn't like that. So when I taught the church about the church here, I told people about this fella. I said, now, I do not believe that I am the Holy Spirit. I said, I just don't believe that. And so at that particular point in time, I started turning to God, talking to God about it, went through it. And I finally came to the conclusion, and I had to come to the conclusion by myself. But God wouldn't let me teach that. And I knew I shouldn't, but I knew that I was God called. And I knew what the words meant. I also knew that the word that was used changed down through the centuries to the time of the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to script this. I've already got this on down here. I'm going to preach exactly what's on this sheet. But I want you to know what's behind it before I do. I've never lied to you. I've never told you something that wasn't true. And Jesus tells us of a rest at salvation. Then I pause here, put a space in there, and of a rest if we let him teach us. This is part 7. You've already seen the other part. You've seen part up to part 7. Now, there were to be many false teachers at the end. And there are many false teachers at the end. Some of them are teaching things that are wrong. And that's why I try very hard to make sure when they join this church that they have scriptural baptism. There's the rest we receive at salvation. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That was written to the local church, Matthew being a member of it, and a disciple, and he wrote this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I came to God, and I have that rest, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. And I would never do something that would hurt the local body. And so I have refrained from doing what I was called to do until God didn't bother me about it anymore. And he doesn't bother me about it anymore. In 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved, comma, and come to the knowledge of the truth? I knew I was called. I didn't have to sit around and think about it. So after I was climbed at churches that I went out and preached to, I didn't tell them I was the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I believe that in Christ, the Godhead is there. And God is having a separate judgment in heaven at the great white throne of judgment. All of them that are pushed aside, forever sent into fire. The verse appears at the end of the whole two chapters that talk about it. The first chapter is a little different, and I could not accept that anybody would claim to be the Holy Spirit. I could not accept that. So when I taught the Trail of Blood, I told people that. I don't know how long you've been here, but I told them that. Can you remember anime? I told them that. And why then do we have people be rebaptized? There is an instantaneous relief of rest we receive when we finally come to Him to save us. And it grows in us after we receive it as we study the Word of God, if it is genuine. That's what I believed, and that's what I've believed for a long, long time. But I've had trouble with this ever since I started, because I knew I was called. I didn't have any problem with it. And I knew I was supposed to preach the gospel. I didn't have any problem with that. So I went out and tried it, and I got persecuted. Well, okay. That's good. I needed it. But I prayed about it and thought about it. I'm not a coward. I suppose I'd make a good one. But I'm not a coward. I've been shot at. I've been hit. You wouldn't believe what I've been through. I've served behind wire fences most of my life. I'm not a coward. I'd make a good one, but I'm not a coward. And finally, I just knew that I needed to do what God wanted. And I came to the conclusion that there's an instantaneous relief of rest we receive when we finally come to Him to save us. And it grows in us after we receive it as we study the Word of God, if it is genuine. Never had any problem with believing I was called. But had a lot of problems with telling people about it, because that God wanted me to do it, but there was something I didn't understand. And finally, God sent preachers in there to help me understand it. That's what I believe. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm a child of God. I've known that since the day I was saved. I was saved at a Missionary Baptist church that believed what my grandfather believed. And he told me what he believed, and I knew what he believed. And for some reason, I just felt like, should I do this now? I'm not afraid to do it. And so finally, God didn't speak to me. I didn't hear his voice. He didn't come and personally visit me. But I knew that I was saved. And I knew I was in a church that taught the truth. Hebrews 13:5-6. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say. Let me say this as boldly as I can. The Lord is my helper. I don't mean that God talks to me and God helps me. I don't mean that. I'm completely helpless. And I finally came to that conclusion. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I believe that. I have discovered that many people that come down this aisle and make a profession of church, make a profession, they don't believe that. And I have also discovered about, what do you call them? Thorns, or you got a name for them?
Thistles.
What?
Tares. T-A-R-E-S. Tares.
Sayers?
Tares, with a T.
Tares. Okay, I'll get it right in a minute. I have discovered when I came here that there were many people in this church that were tares. I'm going to get you one of those cheerleader things. We're tares. I discovered it. I said, this can't be true. I was right. I was right about what I believed. And I was God called. I knew it. But God just didn't want me to do this until toward the very end, and I didn't intend to. So finally I said, well, I will enjoy not having to be persecuted a lot. So I just didn't lie. But if they asked me what I believed, I sure didn't tell them that I believed that some people that were saved were going to hell. I didn't tell them that. You say, well, if you don't tell them, you're telling them. No, I'm not. I didn't. Never did. Now, look at 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, S-O-M-E, S-O-M-E, he says, in the latter, now the Spirit speaks expressly, he said, he puts this plain, puts it out there, that in the latter times, some, S-O-M-E, shall depart from the faith, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, after all this time at this church, I don't have to tell you I'm a God-called preacher. I know I am. Because I was blistered with phone calls and phone calls and phone calls. And when I told them what I believed, that was the end of what they didn't want to have anything to do with me. I understand that. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I have determined, and I do believe, and if I go to hell, I'll end up believing this. I believe that some of those people that come down the aisle and make a profession of faith and don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that they're cleansed by his blood, some of them are going to hell. Now that's it. Some of them are going to hell and some of them aren't. So since I have come to that conclusion, and I had a lot of help in coming to it, I didn't hear God whisper in my ear, say anything to him and say, you're called, Tom. I'll have to try to speak in what God's voice sort of sounds like. Maybe I've never heard it. He says, 2 Timothy 3, 5 through 9. I began to run into people that would tell me they wouldn't have anything else to do with me. If they just kept after me and kept after me and kept after me, and I told them, look, I'm going to tell you about those people, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote it to Timothy. Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They wouldn't believe what Moses said. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate turning the taste piston, the, concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In my time here in this church, remember, I came directly from the seminary up here. This is the only church I've ever pastored. And I came to this conclusion, and I'm certain it's correct. So if you don't like it, I'm just going to have to tell you, this is what I believe. But they proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. There are people who I have known in this church that I love, that I dearly love. Are there some now? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I'll tell you this. I don't care how many times you've been married. If I believe that you shouldn't be rebaptized, I'm not going to ask you to be rebaptized. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We've had people that have come here that have scriptural baptism and would come down the aisle with somebody that had it, and their baptism wasn't scriptural. And I'm sorry, but if they don't repent after they get and come down the aisle, they need to be baptized. So therefore, before their follies shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. I think if they don't change their view on God accepting someone from a church that they wouldn't be baptized in because they were baptized in a church that was unscriptural, I don't think they're saved. I don't think they're saved. So that's plain. You say, well, have we ever had anybody in this church? Yeah, we have. You say, what'd you do about it? Did I ask you to exclude them? No. But I told them. And I have had some hair-raising experiences when I did. Well, what are you trying to tell us? Now I'm going right down the line. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. And he said, go forth and stand before the mount before the Lord. And behold, the king, the Lord, passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. You want to know what I believe? I'm going to tell you right now. But the Lord was not in the wind after the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the wind But after the earthquake, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's what I believe. You say, well, what proof do you have? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. When I learned what I've learned, I began to tell people in this church that God himself said, look it up and check it for yourself. God himself said this. God himself. He said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly. You say, well, he was talking about himself. He was talking about himself. That's why I never would teach that about the man who they put in a trail of blood. That man was meek and lowly. He was a man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And so, if you want to know what I believe, if you've been divorced, whose fault was it? People have a natural tendency to believe it was their fault, even though it wasn't their fault. People have a natural tendency to believe it was their fault, even though it wasn't their fault. You say, and after the fire, and after the fire, still small voice. Some of them believe that you can lose your salvation, and they know, they've always known you couldn't lose it. Now listen. We've always rebaptized people that came to us if they had scriptural baptism. But scriptural baptism is something that you obtain from the church itself. And there are some people in history and some people in the Bible, that God tells you he is meek and lowly. Well, I didn't have a lot of trouble with that, because once I got saved, I was meek and lowly before I got saved, because I got saved before I ever went down the aisle. The rest we receive as he teaches us. Matthew 11:29. Notice we started with Matthew 11:28. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I put firm in parentheses because that's what it was in the day that Matthew lived. The followers of Jesus were called learners. And they told about who he was. They learned about him. And they learned from him. I was saved before I ever went down the aisle. You say, well, it didn't work that way with me. I can't change what I believe based on what you believe. But I can base what I believe on what I believe the Bible teaches. I know that yoke is referring to God himself. And I'll tell you what God is like in his natural personality. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He's meek and lowly in heart. He actually is. I mean, that's God's personality. And he says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I have rest in my soul. I know I have rest in my soul. I'm absolutely positive of it. And I've been positive of that since I got saved. You say, well, what do you do to come to people that come to this church and they won't submit to scriptural baptism? Then we don't accept them. Then we don't accept them. Then Jesus begins to teach us things to give us rest in understanding our assignments in this present life by knowing his role in the performing of them, period. Part of that is to be aware of what to pray for and know God will give it in his own time. That's exactly what happened to me. Revelation 8, 1 through 5. And he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar. He stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. That's why I don't believe in demons, because I believe they're fallen angels, and I just think they ought to be called that. And cast into it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. That's exactly what it says. Now, let's take a look at the back. Revelation 6, 9 through 12. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the souls of them that were slain for the word of the Lord and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? Been a lot of people that got saved that understood that it was the seed of God that saved them, and that the blood he shed for them, and that the blood, B-L-O-O-D, that's what it means, and that the blood that he shed for them, what happened to them? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. Their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now remember who he's talking to and about. And I behold, when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth as hair, and the moon became as blood. And not to faint. I don't believe a person that doesn't continue in the faith goes to hell because then just God just sat down and picked the ones out he wanted to sin without any reasoning, saying, there was in the city a judge, and not to faint. If we knew the number of people in this church that had been saved and had fallen into a category that God told us would be so, but which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now notice what he does next. This is in Luke. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. How many times did she come? And she just kept coming. This is a judge in this city. And this widow kept coming to him and say, avenge me of my enemy, of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, he said it within himself. He said it within himself. Yet because she troubleth me, I will avenge her. I will avenge her. Why did this man, judge, say, I will avenge her? Because the widow just bugged him to death. You don't have to keep bugging God to death. Once he saves you, he saves you. That's it. You say, well, why do people keep going back and asking him? Because they are not, they just have to learn something. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. You think God's like that? He says he's meek and lowly. Don't you believe him? I believe him. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Wonder how many people have come down this aisle and made professions of faith. I know people, and I'm sitting here and I'm going to say it. I know people who married some bums. You say, well, what is your definition of a bum? A bum is somebody that has tremendous confidence in himself, and he wants the woman, and he loves he wants the woman. But once he gets the woman, he doesn't treat her right. He doesn't treat her right at all. That's the only reason the unjust judge revenged her against her enemies. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? There's a lot of bodies laying out there in the grave that are going to be resurrected from the dead. In the first group of the two groups that are in the last white throne judgment. The first group will have people in it that were married more than once. But the question about it is this unjust judge. What do you think God's going to do after he saves the person? He's not going to destroy that awareness. He won't destroy it. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Notice, here is the personality of God. I tell you that he will avenge them. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, how many people do I know that I believe have been saved a long time? I believe they make poor choices when they get married. You say, well, Brother McMurray, could you identify? I'm not going to identify any of them. Unless they come to this church for scriptural baptism. And if they want to be rebaptized, I'll be happy to ask the church about it. Nevertheless, but I tell you what, I know people sitting here right now that it bothers them in their first marriage because they were married and they blame themselves. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. You made a poor choice in marriage. You say, well, you got no right to say that to me. I just did. And I said it because I love you. And because you need to understand that. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find the faith on the earth? That's an interesting question. Will he find faith on the earth? See that thee? I tell you, when he will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find the faith on the earth. What would happen if a person came down that aisle to be rebaptized and he could prove that he had scriptural baptism? We got people in this church that if they came down the aisle to confess that they didn't have scriptural baptism, I sure would talk to them because many churches wouldn't accept them. I know people sitting here right now that it bothers them because they had an unsuccessful first marriage. I think your husband, Anna Mae, was just saved, 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 saved. And I know he was tough. I know he was, but I believe he's in heaven right now. I believe his soul is there. And I believe it's there right now. And I'm not telling you that, Anna, maybe make you feel good. That's where he is. But each case is different. And I tell you who I really feel sorry for. I really feel sorry for women that didn't marry the right man. And God knows, they blame themselves. I know them. I love them. I care for them. And so I need to tell them, whenever you feel like you ought to talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. But God doesn't desert you. And you don't have to feel bad because your husband did. Your husband is the one who did the wrong thing. It wasn't you. Shall he find faith, the faith on the earth? Now here's what he has to say about this in Luke 11, 5 through 13. We started off in Luke. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three. For a friend of mine, remember who this is up here. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Trouble me not. Don't bother me now. And don't bother me now. The door is shut, colon. Trust me not, colon. The door is shut, comma. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Why not? Though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. I tell you who your friend is. Your friend is somebody that wants you to realize you don't have to feel inferior because you've been married before. You don't. And I'm telling you that, and you're not inferior. Now notice this word, importunity. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Well, he will rise and give him as many as needed. Sounds like to me that this man that's doing this, he's got the wrong motive. And I will say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's exactly what happened to me. For every man that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Okay, you've been married before. Who did you marry? Whose fault was it? Is it your fault? Is it your fault that you married somebody and you still feel guilty about it? It's not God's fault. God forgave you. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, shall he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, after he offer him a scorpion? If then ye being evil, now think about this, the people in this church right now that I don't think are evil at all. But they feel guilty because they got married. And the one they married, it was their fault. It wasn't theirs. It wasn't theirs. You say, well, Brother McMurray, you're going to lose people. I don't care. I've waited long enough. How much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? When you ask God to save you, he saved you. Because you kept coming. The fact that you felt guilty, that's a problem that you don't have to bear. You should feel guilty, I guess, but you don't feel guilty about it. You shouldn't feel guilty about it. It wasn't your fault. You say, well, you should have been rebaptized and rebaptized and rebaptized and rebaptized. Okay. I'll be glad to do that for you. How much more should your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Then in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. You feel guilty because you think, well, I still do things wrong. Sure, so do I. You say, well, what do you do? How many times have you been married? Oh, I got a clean slate. People that God calls to preach, they have to keep a clean slate or they're in trouble. And I was taught that. Don't worry, I'm God called. And don't worry, I'm your true pastor. But the truth of the matter is, I've spent a lot of my life studying this, and I've talked to a lot of people. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Is that happening to you? Do you still wonder sometimes, am I really saved? Am I really saved? You say, well, I never think about that. Yes, you do. I'm telling you, you do. Don't tell me you don't. You say, well, how's that going to be judged? God's going to do that. God's going to take care of that. But He's not going to take care of it until the great white throne of judgment for everybody. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Don't think I didn't go through any of this. I did. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is lazy, but the flesh is weak. Do I tell you right now, hey, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. My flesh is not weak anymore. Who do you think you are? You're not the one that did the wrong thing. The one that did the wrong thing was the one that saved you, and the one that did the right thing, you were led to scriptural baptism. You say, well, what do I have to worry about? Nothing. Be thankful to God for what you've got and that He gave it to you. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. That's Mark 13:38. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I did. And all these things shall be added unto you. They have. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. I don't worry about whether I'm saved or not. I know I'm saved. You say, why do you know? Because I just told you. Shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6:13, same writer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen, you think there's no more battle in your life? You don't think you're not going to be tempted? The devil doesn't want you to give glory to God. He does not want you to give any glory to God whatsoever. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Feel guilty about the fact that you got a bum husband? Do you think it was all his fault? I do. Because I know you, and I know what you're like, and I see Christ in you. For thine is the kingdom, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Well, I've told you what I believe. I've told you why I believe it. But I tell you, as pastor of this church, what I intend to do. If somebody comes in and I'm convinced they have scriptural baptism from a scriptural church like this, I won't require them to be rebaptized. Because I think that many of them, maybe not a lot, quite a few, of the people that come down this aisle and make a profession of faith are already saved. I'll give you an example. This couple that comes over here all the time, I preached, and I talked to them. They wouldn't come because I wouldn't accept his baptism, and I wouldn't accept hers. That's why they didn't come. But I know you. You say, how do you know me? I'm your pastor, and I know you. And I know what you're like. And I don't judge anybody except by one thing, the Word of God and what the words mean in it. Kenneth, you want to dismiss it?